Max was 97 years old, and it was time to sell the family farm. He'd had no sons, and his disabled daughter was now in her 70s. His wife had died many, many years before. There was no one to take over the property, and the coal miners were after it, so Max had finally agreed to sell. Max had hundreds of acres of grazing land out past Lithgow on the road to Mudgee, and he needed someone to help him get all the machinery in near the house so that the auctioneers could sell it off. I was introduced to Max at 7:30 one cold morning nearly 23 years ago. He was going to pay me for a week or so to get things organised for the sale. It was quite amazing sitting with him in his ancient old kitchen and speaking with him about his life. He was born on the property in 1900 and lived there for just under a century farming sheep, just like his father before him. The shearing sheds had been silent for years. He kept about 100 sheep simply because he liked the noise they made. This guy was a real modern-day shepherd. His life had revolved around sheep and running a sheep station. The first thing Max asked me to do was to jump on his quad bike. Yes, he was 97 years old and still getting around on a quad bike. Run up to the top paddock and bring the flock back down to the holding yard near the house. All fired up, I started up the Honda and roared up the dirt track and began gathering in the strays. Before long, I had all of them in a group and I brought them charging back down to the house. It took about an hour or so to get all of this done, I guess. Max had opened the holding yard gate and he was standing right in the middle of it. The sheep poured in and flocked around him. They appeared to be very comfortable in his presence, so they wouldn't let me go near them. I have to tell you, though, in that moment, I was the man from Snowy River. I'd never worked stock before, yet clearly I was a natural. I'd brought the flock back without too many dramas. I'd done the job quickly and efficiently. However, the look on Max's face, as I confidently strode up to him, told a very different story. He was raging mad. I won't repeat what he said to me. I'll leave that to your imagination. Let's just say that, using the most colourful of language, he pointed my attention to the three ewes that were now lying on their sides a few hundred metres outside the yard in the long grass. "You've put them into early labour, you fool!" After checking, I realised he was right. You see, in my haste to impress him, I'd driven the sheep so hard that I'd overstretched the pregnant females. I simply made them run too far, too fast. It never occurred to me that they'd be about to give birth. It never occurred to me to go easy on them and to gently bring them back. I'll never forget that day. Max was the good shepherd who genuinely loved his sheep. He knew them and he cared for them. I was simply the hired hand who didn't have a clue and I guess didn't really care for the sheep. Jesus told a story about sheep and shepherds that tells us something about himself. He said, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." Today, I want us to look at this statement of Jesus and what it means for us today. Before we do that, we need to understand what those words meant for the first hearers. The idea of Israel being like a flock was not foreign to them. Throughout the Old Testament, God is often referred to as the shepherd of Israel. In Psalm 80, it says, "Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth, come and save us." And this well-known passage from Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." In Isaiah 40, verse 10, it says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And like I did with Max's sheep, the Lord gently leads those who have young. So God has always been the shepherd of Israel, and the leaders, the various kings, and then the religious leaders were supposed to care for the flock as under-shepherds. They were supposed to care for the flock in the same way as the true shepherd, the Lord, cared for them. But they failed miserably, and the Lord rebuked them for it. Eventually, through the words of the prophet Ezekiel, God said to them, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Of course, here Ezekiel is referring to the offspring of David, the coming Messiah, who would ultimately be revealed as God in the flesh, God incarnate, Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament scriptures and the prophets point to Jesus as the one who would be their shepherd, the one who would not fail them, the one who would gently care for them, and the one who would keep them safe. So having said that, let's look at Jesus' words recorded by John in chapter 10. Verse 1, he says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Sheep in ancient Palestine were commonly herded in a walled enclosure that protected them from driving winds, from the dangers of wandering off, and particularly from beasts of prey. You couldn't just leave them out in the open. They simply wouldn't survive. The Greek word used here is the common word for courtyard. The idea is that there's only one door or gate into this area. It was typically a bit like our front yard. Imagine the small front yard of an old miner's cottage, a courtyard surrounded by a wall that sat between the front door and the street. It was a safe place to bring a small flock of sheep for the night. The person who climbed over the wall to get in did so because, well, they couldn't come in through the proper gate. Clearly, anyone who did this, anyone who climbed over the wall, was a robber and a thief. Just think about it. In the middle of the night, if you hear a noise and discover that there's someone in your lounge room, are you even for a moment going to assume that they are just visiting, that they mean you no harm? Not for a moment. The reality is that they haven't knocked on the door. They haven't been welcomed in. They haven't come in the right way, and quite rightly, you're going to assume that they mean to either harm you or your family, or they want to steal from you. This is the image that Jesus is painting for us. There is the flock, God's flock, but not everyone has the good of the flock in mind. Those who don't come in through the gate don't have the good of the flock in mind. They come for their own selfish reasons. They come to plunder, to kill, and destroy. Not so for the real shepherd. His sheep know his voice and they respond to him. He has no need to climb the wall and sneak in during the night. The watchman at the gate knows him. The sheep know him, and everything is as it should be. These people were awaiting the Messiah. They were awaiting the shepherd of Israel. You would think that Jesus' words would have been fairly clear to them, but they didn't understand. Once again, they didn't get it. Verse 6 says, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus explained his parable. Have a look, verse 7. "Therefore," Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You know, I can understand why they were a little confused. I'm sure at first they were wondering if he was the shepherd in this parable, you know, but then he says to them, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." The gate. You're the gate. How does that work? Jesus was telling them that there is no other way to God. You cannot gain access to the kingdom of heaven through the law. The law and good works are simply inadequate. You cannot get to God on your own terms. You can't climb the fence or dig a tunnel under the wall. You can't bribe the gatekeeper, and you can't somehow sneak in. And you certainly can't take the typical Aussie approach, she'll be right, mate, because she won't be right, mate. Despite what some will tell you, there are not many paths to God. There are not many paths to the truth or into the kingdom of heaven. If you think about it, there simply can't be. If God is God and Jesus is the only Son of God and Jesus himself tells us that he is the only way, we have to either accept it as truth or we simply walk away. Now, over the years, I've had this conversation with many people, and I have to say, people are often offended by this notion. People are offended with this basic tenet of Christianity that Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus himself said, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. If Jesus is the gate or the door, then he is the only door. And there is a certain exclusivity about the door. If he is the only door, then people must either enter through him or they stay outside the kingdom of God, period. You cannot demand another door. Once again, I'll say to you, you cannot have the living God on your own terms. Humanity has struggled with this truth for millennia. Regardless of how powerful, successful, or self-sufficient you may feel, you cannot have God, if God is God at all, on your own terms. God has provided a way back to him. The way is through his Son, Jesus. And he is the only way to find forgiveness and entry into the presence of God and the kingdom of heaven. He is the only one who is God and human. There is an exclusivity to Jesus. You know, for many years, that was the only way that I viewed those words of Jesus, in the sense that they spoke of the exclusivity of Jesus as the only way to God. I still believe that. Please don't misunderstand me, but as I've worked through this passage a number of times over the years, I feel that God has opened my eyes to another facet, another dimension to this truth that had previously escaped me. It was during the middle of the night. I think it was about 2 a.m. I'd woken up and I was just lying there in bed when I heard this noise, a kind of bang. I thought to myself, I'd better check that out. So I got up and I wandered around the house a bit. This was when all the kids were still living at home. You can call it what you like, but the bottom line is, I was checking for an intruder. I wanted to know that my family was safe. I wasn't going back to bed until I checked that all the doors were locked and that everyone was fine. Everything was okay. It was probably one of the kids kicking the wall next to their bed. As I got back into bed, thinking about intruders and locked doors, etc., I think God opened my eyes to another aspect of this truth that Jesus is the gate. If Jesus is the gate, if he's the only way in, anyone coming in has to come past Jesus. And no one gets past Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Being in the flock of God, being part of the family of God, being one of his treasured sheep, as it were, puts you in the safest place there is. That's another great promise for us to hang on to, is it not? Jesus is the gate to the sheepfold. When you are in Christ, in the sheepfold, you are safe and sound forever. When you are in Christ, you are safe and sound forever. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Jesus said, just a few verses later, in verse 27, he said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Now, this doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you in this life. The enemy still attacks us whenever he can. Preemie babies still end up gravely ill. People have car accidents through no fault of their own. Churches burn down. Churches get contaminated with asbestos. People go in for routine surgery and things don't go as planned. Healthy, active, good people develop cancer and then die. Global pandemics happen. Christians still get divorced. Marriages and families fall apart. Careers are lost and reputations shattered unjustly. Bad things still happen to good people. This life is full of things like that. But ultimately, in a spiritual sense, If you are in Christ, you are in the safest place there is. You know, somebody asked me recently, you know, do you think Satan wants to kill me? I had to say to them, most definitely. If you're a follower of Jesus, Satan wants you dead. You don't believe me? Have a look at what Jesus said in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Notice what Peter writes to God's elect, strangers in the world, in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. We looked at this earlier in the year. He writes to the elders in verse 2. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, being examples to the flock that has been entrusted to your care. So it's the same image, the family of God, the flock of God. But then to the young men, he says, this is verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Our enemy does want to kill and destroy. That's the reality of this life for the children of God. If you're wondering if you're under attack, stop wondering. You are. However, the truth and the promise of Jesus is this. I am the gate, and when you are in me, you are safe eternally. The challenge then is, how is that truth going to change my perspective on life? How is that truth going to change my outlook and my approach to life? Are you going to let fear hold you back from all that God has for you? Are you going to let the threats of the enemy fool you into feeling like you're out in the wilderness all alone, unsheltered and unprotected, when the Lord says, no, when you are in me, you are safe. Our enemy wants us quaking in fear, but Jesus wants us living in the freedom that comes from being part of his flock. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. When you're in Christ, you are safe to come in and go out and find pasture. What a great place to be. Jesus then changes the image a little. He says in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus is more than just the gate. He is certainly the one who guards and protects us. No one is going to get to his sheep because he is the gate. But he is also the shepherd. When Jesus says that his sheep are free to come in and go out and to find pasture, we are free to do that because he goes with us. And ultimately, all of creation will be renewed and redeemed. Sin, death, chaos, and danger will be no more. The Palestinian shepherd of the first century is a very different character to the one we might find in Australia. The obvious difference being that he knows his sheep by name. Often they would have a specific call that individual sheep would recognize. The shepherd walked out in front, the flock following behind, knowing that he would keep them safe and find them good pasture. It's a very different image to the pastoralist on his stock horse with kelpies snapping at their heels, isn't it? At the beginning of this message, I told you a story about my first day working on Max's station. I have to say, that was at a very difficult time in my life. For nearly 10 years, I'd been heading to Bible college, and then, well, first time around, I only lasted 18 months. We left and moved to the Blue Mountains. Louise started working at Lithgow Hospital, and well, I mowed lawns. It was through my lawn mowing contacts that I got this work clearing Max's station and preparing for the auction. Well, during that time, I spent hours driving around this huge property on an enormous tractor dragging all sorts of things back to the house. I had lots of time to think and to pray. At the time, I felt like I was trying to catch the wind. I felt as though God was leading me. I mean, he must have been. I just didn't know where. I knew in my head that he was leading me like a shepherd, but I have to admit that I felt pretty lost. I'd thought that God was calling me to be a pastor. Yet here I was in the middle of nowhere, working as a farmhand, with only a couple of days of work ahead of me, no real job security, and not a lot of clear vision for the future. If somebody had suggested at the time that some years later I'd be the senior pastor at Lakes Baptist, and then Belmont Baptist, and now Foster Baptist Church, that I'd be speaking to hundreds of people every day all over the world, I'd have laughed at them. I read recently that we need to trust more in God's ability to lead us than in our ability to follow. That is so true. I've got to trust more in God's ability to lead me than in my ability to follow. Jesus is the good shepherd who has already laid his life down for you. He's done everything required to purchase your freedom, and he now promises to protect and lead you through this life and into the future that he has for you. That's another great promise, isn't it? So a few things from this morning's passage. Firstly, there's only one way to God. There's only one door to heaven. There's only one way into the kingdom of God, Jesus. You're only saved by putting your faith in Jesus. The world doesn't like that message, but it's the truth. Second, if Jesus is the gate to the sheepfold and you're in the sheepfold, live in the secure knowledge that no one gets past Jesus. Remember John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And finally, Jesus is the good shepherd who promises to lead you into good pastures, to guide and protect you. And he knows you by name. Isn't that great? Amen.